Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just last week, granted, I think I made an error in the readings, but it was still okay to do the first Sunday after Christmas because it was the first Sunday after Christmas. But last week we were hearing about the infant Jesus. He was 2 years of age or thereabouts, as Herod had learned from the wise men. And he did a lot of traveling. He went to and fro with his parents, Mary and Joseph. They went from Bethlehem to Egypt and then from Egypt to Nazareth. So Jesus certainly got around in his younger years. Yet this weekend we hear about him being baptized, beginning his ministry. No, Jesus did not grow up in a week, but the information that we have regarding his early years is very limited. We hear a couple things about him in the temple, and then it jumps clear to the beginning of his ministry and his baptism here at about the age of 30. Friday was the Epiphany of our Lord. So some of us have taken down our Christmas decorations and put them away, turned off our Christmas lights. Yet while the decorations are stored up for next year, the fact that our Lord is among us hasn't changed. Jesus is still the Emmanuel, God with us, in two different ways. For one thing, he is with us here spiritually in his word, but also physically in his sacraments. But not in the same way that he was with those present in our gospel text this morning. God took on human flesh and came to pay the price we owe for our sins in Jesus Christ, his Son. So we give him honor, laud, and glory. And God does not share that glory with anyone. Neither should we give his glory to anyone or anything else. God has procured that glory by taking on human flesh in his Son and by doing all that was necessary to save us, including being baptized by John the Baptist. But while we heard about his baptism in recent years, we haven't really looked at the prophecy concerning it from Isaiah, where Isaiah had prophesied that God would put his Spirit on Jesus. So we turn to that text for our sermon this morning. In the text from Isaiah, we find that those are the first words we have recorded for us. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. Now, at the same time, and going no further than that, do you notice anything interesting in that verse? Something interesting when you compare it to the gospel text for this morning. As you know, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, all three persons of the Trinity were present. The voice of God the Father from the heavens, Jesus present there in the river, and the Holy Spirit descended and landed upon him in the form of a dove. Here also in the prophecy, we find all three persons present. Jesus is the servant of God, whom God upholds and has chosen to come at the time of our gospel text. God the Father is the one speaking through the prophet. And God the Father has also said that he would put his Spirit upon his chosen servant, that Spirit being the Holy Spirit. So again, all three persons of the Holy Trinity were present even in this prophecy concerning the baptism. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would act and has acted on your behalf. He came into the world and was baptized by John so that you might receive his forgiveness. In our gospel text, God affirms what he has said here, that he delights or is well pleased with Jesus, his chosen servant. Now, it doesn't matter if your faith in Jesus is weak or strong, new or old. As God's chosen servant, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. While those Christmas lights brought forth joy and the comfort of God with us, when we put them away, we get back to the daily grind. And even the new year, there was celebration for a time, but now you have returned to your jobs. You've returned to the daily grind. You've returned to the sweat on the brow. And all too easily, your mind can slip off of your Savior. But Jesus is still with us. He is still your Emmanuel, God with you. The good news is that while we may become discouraged from time to time, our Lord Jesus did not and does not become weary of us or thinking about us or discouraged by us. Isaiah continued our text. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice on the earth and the coastlands wait for his law. The same God become flesh has said for your hearing this morning that I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. Now, these words were recorded by the prophet Isaiah, but they are not concerning you, so to speak. They are not commands for you to fulfill that you have to somehow earn God's righteousness. They are commands and sayings concerning his son, his chosen one, Jesus the Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that these words have no comfort for you. They do. God would comfort his son, his servant, whom he had called, so that he might fulfill what you and I are unable to do. Jesus was the one who would fulfill God's righteousness, and for his sake, God loves you as his dear child, and he has called you through the waters of holy baptism. Completing God's righteousness meant keeping the law perfectly, to love God first and others second. And not only that, but for God's chosen servant, it meant fulfilling every one of the Old Testament prophecies, beginning with those three we heard about last week, being baptized by John here and fulfilling that prophecy, and every other prophecy of the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled all of those prophecies in his life. He fulfilled those three last week. He is fulfilled being baptized by John the Baptist, and he will continue to fulfill, as you already know, every prophecy of the Old Testament concerning God's Messiah, his chosen servant. Jesus came and fulfilled all of those prophecies in order to be a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, and to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. And for that reason, we give God glory. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to the carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. We began our text in the name of God, in physical form and voice. And here we end with God declaring again that he is the Lord. He is the one who has sent his son to die for you, and he is the one who has called you by name before you were even born. He is the one into whose name you were baptized, and he is the one who will keep you to life everlasting. You don't have to do anything to deserve God's glory either. He has given it freely to his chosen one, his son, Jesus the Christ. You will never have to worry about earning God's glory or his favor. He has worked in a new way in his son so that all of the world might be saved through him. And he declared that to you as well. He has made it known to you before he has done it through the words of Isaiah recorded before Christ came and read to you this day. God kept his word to do those new things. And as God kept his word about doing those new things, the new way with which he came to save us, you can rest assured that he will keep all of his promises to you. God fulfills his promises. He desires his glory, and he gives it to no one else. He will do as he has made known to us in both the Old Testament and the New, in the name and for the sake of his chosen servant, Jesus the Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.